When brand new Metro bus Route 36 got up and running, Kimberly Thomas was one of the first passengers. The new route cut her travel time to Cincinnati Children's in half when she went to see her newborn daughter in the neonatal intensive care unit. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Now Route 36 is connecting people of the West Side with hospitals, jobs, and more. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss this new transportation option and what it means for riders are local mother Kimberly Thomas, Cincinnati Children's Vice President for Health Equity Strategy, Dr. Robert Kahn, and Cincinnati Metro Short Range Planning Manager, Mark Saman. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Cincinnati Children's and Metro are financial supporters of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kimmy, first I have to say it's great to see you again.
Great
it's been a few years. Last time I saw you, I think it was in your new house in Lower Price Hill, like your Habitat house, which was awesome. Tell me a little bit, talk about how your family has grown since then.
We have a cat.
That's important.
We had another baby, mm-hmm. which is why we're here today. And I even went back to college and graduated.
Well, congratulations on all those things.
Thank you.
So tell us about your baby. You and I are also Facebook friends. I know it was really stressful for you and your husband when the baby had some problems when she was born. Do you mind telling us a little bit, whatever you're comfortable with, what those medical issues were and just what it took to go visit her in the NICU when she was little bitty?
Sure. So I thought that Jordan was another miscarriage, so I went to the triage, and they said I was in preterm labor. They slowed labor overnight, and then by the next afternoon, my water broke.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I was 5 centimeters dilated.
Wow, and that was pretty early in your pregnancy, right?
24 weeks and 2 days.
Oh, wow. So what was it like? She had to be in the hospital for a while, obviously, when a little bitty comes that early. What was it like to try to get to the NICU before this new bus route was in place?
For the first month and a half, she was at Good Samaritan. And even that was two buses or one bus and a long walk. Because I liked taking the 31 if I did want to take a walk and not taking a transfer bus. Our oldest daughter was too young to go see the baby. They had to be 16 or older. So I had to always leave the older daughter or just visit while the older daughter was at school.
Yeah. And how old was your older daughter when Jordan was born?
13.
Okay, wow. And when you say two buses and, you know, the transfer, how much time is that? Does that take a lot of time to make all those transfers and everything?
About an hour and a half for a total trip minus the wait time.
Wow.
Some wait times are 15 to 20 minutes, depending on if you missed the bus or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Google Maps was my best friend.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I bet you had to follow that closely. So we're here to talk about Route 36. You were one of the first riders, as I understand it. How did you find out about this new bus route?
Metro Facebook page.
Ah.
And I saw the bus stop when I was walking towards another bus stop because I wanted to try it out.
Mm-hmm. What was that first ride like?
Very quiet. But I liked riding down State Avenue to see where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. And it cut your travel time in. You said it took like about an hour and a half when you were transferring all that. How long did it take once you had that Route 36?
About 45 minutes, depending on how many stops the bus took.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Dr. Kahn, how did Cincinnati Children's figure out where a new route would be most helpful for patients and their families?
Well, it was really directly a partnership with Mark and the team at Metro. And, you know, just sort of stepping back as to why Children's was involved is our vision is to be the leader in improving child health. It doesn't actually say healthcare in our vision. And so making sure parents like Kimmy can get and be at the bedside when they want to be at the bedside is really important to us and make sure all kids have great outcomes. And there are all sorts of ways we could have tried to solve for transportation issues, to remove those barriers. But, you know, what we're finding is the best way to do this is partner with great organizations around town, whatever the area is here for transportation, Cincinnati Metro. So it was really a call from Mark, and I'll let him tell the story. But we tried to bring our best data to inform the kinds of tough decisions they have to make.
Yeah. How did that work, Mark?
So when we do planning for our bus routes, there's the obvious data, like how many people are within a certain radius of a stop and how many jobs and what kind of jobs. But what's really missing from the public data sets is like healthcare data. Education data is not as great as well. So you really need to find other data sources if you want to see how something can positively impact people's trips to and from the hospital or clinic or whatever they're doing. So I actually knew Dr. Khan from before because my mother is a pediatrician at Children's Hospital and worked with Dr. Khan. And years back, I had come to some meeting that was about access to healthcare and no-show rates, and love doctors, very smart people, but usually don't know very much about the bus. No offense. which is fine. That's not your job, right?
Yeah.
But so kind of fast forward a couple of years, I'm now working at Metro as a planning manager, trying to figure out how we want to best connect West Side neighborhoods to the uptown area, UC hospitals, places like that. And I figured it wouldn't hurt to reach out to Dr. Khan. And I guess you had become the, had been working with the Fisher Center. So reached out asking if there's any kind of data that they'd be able to share, right? This medical data, right? Some privacy in there. And we received data sets on, it was like the number of children under 18 that are enrolled in either Medicaid, CHIP, Healthvine, I think was the other program. And Price Hill, lower east, west, just lit up a huge amount of patients. And we ended up doing an analysis showing that that's the largest concentration of patients that are in these programs that have the longest actual trip to the base or to the Hopple Street Clinic, the base being the Burnett Hospital. So getting that data made it very easy to see that not only would we connect a lot of people that live in the Price Hill area to Uptown, but that a lot of children who need to go to Children's Hospital, potentially, would also be connected much faster.
And what kind of barrier is that for care, Dr. Khan? Because, I mean, families are really busy. If it's going to take you an hour and a half or, you know, maybe even longer to take your child to the doctor, that can really get in the way of keeping those appointments, can it?
Absolutely. I mean, in our best moments, we realize families have a hierarchy of needs. They may really want to come in for shots, but if there is no car available and it's raining out and they got a 15, 20-minute walk in the rain with another toddler, they're making tough choices. Or they're working, they worked a swing shift and they're exhausted and they just don't have that space. So factoring in things like what are their top priorities and how is transportation going to get in the way? And so no-show rates are a really important factor, right? We have a team set up, whether it's in the operating room or for the exam room. If the families can't make it in, that's a loss all the way around for the kid, for the family, and for us as well.
Yeah. We're talking in this recorded interview about Metro's new bus route 36. Mark, this route doesn't just connect Lower Price Hill and Cincinnati Children's. It connects a lot of people on the west side mm-hmm. to other places. Talk about those connections that it makes.
Sure. So it actually starts at Mount St. Joe's University in Delhi. The bus actually takes its layover. The driver takes a break on their campus. And Mount St. Joe's was extremely helpful and willing to have this partnership with us because our drivers need to use the restroom there and their students and faculty need to get there. So it starts there, works its way through Delhi, up to East Price Hill, down the hill to Lower Price Hill, up State Avenue to the Western Hills Viaduct area, the Lick Run, comes across there, heads up the hill, McMillan, serves the University of Cincinnati, Jefferson Avenue, MLK, Burnett, and then kind of makes its way winding over to Norwood where it ends.
Hmm. How important is this to connect the West Side generally? And I will confess, I'm a Northern Kentucky native. I have a hard time getting around and on the West Side, and it's always seemed a little bit disconnected in terms of you know, other parts of town. How important is that?
The way the geography is and that giant rail yard in Queensgate is, there's really not a lot of roads that, you know, go over. One of my colleagues, his name is Nick. He's a planner in our department, lived in West Price Hill for a long time. And he is the one who let me know a lot about the West Side routes, West Side areas, Westwood, not just Price Hills, Westwood, you know, the Fairmounts, places like that. So what was interesting was, you know, we were in expansion mode, the passage of our levy a couple of years ago. So everywhere is really well connected to downtown. But if you're going somewhere else, It usually isn't. And there's some exceptions, but so this connection, we realized, not just serves all these people, but is just significantly faster than what you had to do before. And prior to the passage of our levy, there's just not resources to do that without cutting from somewhere else that would be also important to keep serving.
Mm-hmm. Kimmy, what do you think about that? I mean, you grew up in Lower Price Hill. You're living there now. Is it, can it, before this route, was it tricky to get from there to places you need to go on the bus?
Yes, very tricky. When I was younger, the 31 used to go right in front of my house on State Avenue. But now people have trouble getting from point A to point B unless they go to the end of 8th Street. But going from places on 36, I still use it today if I have to go to Price Hill Kroger. That's the closest Kroger to our house and our pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. Two very important places.
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Khan, what do you and the team at Cincinnati Children's hear from other families about how they use this route, what it means to them?
Yeah, again, what we hear is transportation can be a barrier, but something like this from the west side to connect through has been foundational for them accessing it, because so many families may not have access to a car during the day. I'd also like to just highlight, and maybe Mark can comment as well, for our employees, right? I mean, employees accessing this corridor, and we have plenty of employees, right? We're 24/7, so how can we make it so they can arrive and leave and be as efficient as possible? And as Kimmy mentioned, often there are kids at home. So an extra 45 minutes in transit or an hour in transit means they're not at home with the kids.
Yeah. Kimmy, what kind of difference did this make for you in terms of visiting your baby, you know, that it cut your travel time in half, but also juggling everything else in your life, an older daughter, work, husband, you're very active in your community. I mean, what did that extra time that you got back into your life mean for you?
The Route 36 was great because it also saved me more money from taking Ubers or Lyfts, because I'm like, do I want to use $2, $4, or pay for an Uber? So it's more convenient and more cost effective.
Yeah. How much is an Uber from your place to Cincinnati Children's?
It varies, about $20 max, depending on what time of day it is, rush hour.
Yeah, that's a big difference then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just build on that, which is, you know, hospitals around the nation are trying to solve these structural barriers to health, transportation being one of them. And, you know, so you have the rise of medical Uber, which for some is the right solution at the right time. But as Kimmy just pointed out, cost-wise, and what's the hospital's role in helping to offset those costs? You can see why in the thousands of encounters we have a day, if medical Uber was the main solution for some versus a bus, we'd much rather find a partnership with Metro for something like that.
Yeah. Mark, what are the ridership numbers now for 36?
Sure. So the route launched in, it was December of 2023 and expanded a little in March of 2024. So when it started running, we were seeing about 500 people a day. We're currently at about 1,100 people a day. It takes a little bit of time for people to find out about it, adjust their schedules, try something new. And what was interesting, though, is that we had predicted, because you'd be taking people off of having to transfer downtown from two routes down to one, we had predicted that we would lose some riders on, say, a Route 33, which runs on Glenway into downtown, and one of the other routes, many routes that go to uptown from downtown. But what was interesting was what happened is that there's a very, very minor decrease in ridership on those routes, which implies that most of those rides on the Route 36 are people who are either new riders or people who wouldn't have made that trip before because of the time. So maybe they are transit riders, but that's just too long, right? And in our industry, people like to talk about, you know, people dependent on transit, but the reality is, like, if people need to get somewhere, they'll figure it out, right? So, like, Kimmy will, if she has to, pay for an Uber, right? Or find somebody who can get a ride. So, you know, in transit, we like to see that people, when people switch from something else to our service, that means, that tells us at least, hey, we're doing a good job, because it's hard to get people to take a bus if they don't know how or are used to doing it. So if you can get them to do that, then that's great.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kimmy.
I want to segue back to what Dr. Khan said about medical Uber. Jordan, I'm happy to say she came home in December, right before Christmas and right before turning 4 months old. Now, through CareSource, we take advantage of provide a ride for medical Ubers. So when we have a scheduled visit, I call them or use their app up to 2 days before the visit.
Hmm.
But recently when she was sick, on a same-day sick visit, we took the bus.
Yeah. Right. You need to schedule in advance for those typical CareSource or insurance-driven ones, right? Yes. And that's harder to do.
Yeah. I want to talk, too, about what other services this new route connects people to. It's not just hospitals. You were talking about how you start at Mount St. Joe and go this whole connectivity. Kimmy talked about the grocery store. Can you tell what people are using this bus to get to, Mark?
Yeah. So we get information at the stop level. So we see, you know, how many people get on and off at a certain bus stop on a certain route. So I'd say about 20-25% of the rides are associated with Burnett Avenue. So that's Children's and also UC Health there. But a lot of the ridership is around the University of Cincinnati's main campus. So a lot of folks who either are working there or students who are coming who probably don't live around UC or on campus are coming in are using it as well. And then it also connects to the Lick Run Park in South Fairmount, which after many, many years of construction is now done and beautiful and a great asset. And so we see a lot of riders getting on and off at that stop there just before the Western Hills Viaduct on the west side there. So recreation as well. And then a lot of people take it to go see family and friends. So it's hard to quantify that, but that's obviously part of the ridership too.
Yeah.
Oh, and then finally, the end of the line in Norwood is right next to the Board of Elections and some county functions. So we see some ridership from that too.
Mm-hmm. Especially this time of year, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, we're talking in this recorded interview about Metro's new bus route, 36. Dr. Khan, you know, talking about all these other things, recreation, visiting family, and especially going to the grocery store, what are those? Those can present barriers, too, and those can have implications for health, too. How important is it for families to have easy access to a grocery store and fresh produce, to be able to spend time with loved ones? I mean, how does that fit into health?
It's such a great question. It's such a timely question. Like, we so often think of healthcare and ill health more than ever with our youth, our younger kids, isolation, difficult to maintain good nutrition, a sense of belonging, networks of friends. That's what we need to pay attention to shift health in the right direction, right? These mental health challenges we're seeing among our youth. And so it is this holistic perspective. Are we a connected community? How do we do that efficiently? And we've all been part of partnerships that don't work so well. So I think what's really special, and I appreciate about the partnership with Mark, but others around town, is like, how do we bring our best to an effective partnership? How do we keep families at the center, right? So I'm not just optimizing for when I want to be in clinic and when I need Kimmy to show up for me. How do we together organize to serve families? How do we bring just enough data to it? And how do we get better every day at it? And I'll just say, like, yes to the partnership with Metro. We've got a burgeoning partnership with Cincinnati Public Schools, with the public health leadership, with Job and Family Services. So we're all serving the same families. And I think it's what's in part really special about Cincinnati as a community. Like you said, if we want to produce health and be the best at getting better, how do we build on these kinds of partnerships that have impact and are really efficient?
So are you seeing fewer missed appointments?
We are starting to see fewer missed appointments. We haven't done a full analysis yet. That's our next stop. And really, though we based our data on primary care, when we talk to our surgical colleagues, right, missed appointments in the operating room, missing an appointment when you've got a full OR setup is big. So our next step is to analyze, you know, based on relative geography of where patients are coming from. We have teams working on reducing missed appointments there, too, and transportation is a big part of it.
Yeah. Kimmy, you're very active in your community in Lower Price Hill. What are you hearing from other residents there? Do you hear from a lot of people that they're glad this new route is in place?
So when the bus first came online, I was bragging about it on Facebook before I even took it. And I was recommended to come do an article because my friend Reba Hennessy, she has a grocery store, Your Store of the Queen City. Her and I have been good friends for years. And she saw what we were going through and found a way to help. So networking at its finest. So I like to pay it forward whenever I can. So just me putting the word out, or people ask where I'm going. So I told them all the time, oh, I'm going to go see Jordan. It'll be one bus ride.
That's big. And you mentioned Jordan came home in December. How's she doing now?
She's doing great. 18 pounds, 27 inches long. She's getting another inhaler for the flu season in the winter. It's an albuterol, so it's taking as needed. So she'll have two inhalers, but they said she looks good and sounds good yesterday when we were at Children's.
I bet big sister's crazy about her, huh?
Most of the time.
That's fair.
Baby sister has claws.
Oh, yeah.
And pulls hair.
Yeah, those babies, yeah, they have such an advantage in that way. Mark, are there plans for other new or expanded routes based on the success of this one?
Yeah. So, you know, we're still in the midst of our expansion process over the next couple of years. It's a slow rollout, so you got to hire more people, get more buses, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of our services we have planned in the future are services that we call crosstown service, which is a route that we define it as a route that does not go downtown. Usually they go east-west. Sometimes they go north-south. The city street network is very bizarre to try to make straight lines. So, yeah, we're looking at additional services, whether it's a new route or more frequent service or different time of day, better connecting the uptown area to more Cincinnati neighborhoods as well as some suburban communities moving forward. And then in addition, in a couple of years, we're constructing a bus rapid transit network that'll specifically better connect the kind of Clifton-Hamilton Avenue corridor and the Reading Road corridor further north with more service into the uptown area. So a lot more coming and to be excited about, and should all be helpful for folks.
Yeah. Dr. Kahn, from this experience, has Cincinnati Children's learned anything new that you feel like will help patients and families in the future?
Great question. I think it gives us courage to keep stepping out of the formal walls, right? We've got big, tall towers, and we just hope that typically, healthcare will hope that what we do inside those walls helps as families leave. And again, it's a really special city in that sense of it gives us the courage that we can take joint accountability for overall outcomes for kids, as opposed to, hey, I delivered great healthcare today. Good luck. I mean, just when Kimmy uses the word albuterol, like that level, there's so much for a parent of a premature baby to learn. Like whatever together we can do to put them in the driver's seat for their kids' well-being, the better. And, you know, healthcare at times is in tough straits. So how do we be courageous enough to take on some of these challenges? But in Cincinnati, to do it together makes it possible. And to have a result like this and partnerships like this and hearing Kimmy tell her story helps all of our leadership say, how could we not go ahead and take some of these risks?
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with local mother Kimberly Thomas, Cincinnati Children's Vice President for Health Equity Strategy, Dr. Robert Kahn, and Cincinnati Metro Short Range Planning Manager, Mark Saman. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder, associate producer is Asiya Johnson, technical director is Marshall Verbsky, and Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.